Coming up on today's show.
It was shortly after my dad had passed away. And it was, in many ways, a spiritual awakening because it allowed me to see that while I suffered a tremendous loss, God gave me so much in return.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I share a lot of exclusive content in there, including photos that I get from guests. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. 3 weeks ago on this show, I spoke with filmmaker Richard Rossi, who, among other projects, had made a movie about Baseball Hall of Famer Roberto Clemente, and we talked about how devoted Clemente was to the city of Pittsburgh and wanting to celebrate with the fans immediately after the Pirates won the World Series rather than just in the locker room with his teammates. Here in Tampa Bay, we saw Evan Longoria play baseball for the Rays for the majority of his MLB career before playing a bit with the Giants and Diamondbacks. But now he has made his retirement official, saying he knew he wanted to do it as a Ray. A city likes seeing that. They feel as though that athlete is their own. That loyalty, that commitment, that devotion is rewarded by the fans, the community, and yes, by the organization too. We as Catholic Christians pray that our consistent obedience to our Heavenly Father will be met with the reward of spending eternity with him. And in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 speaks to this, saying, quote, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands, bearing this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls upon his name of the Lord avoid evil." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been coaching high school basketball for 15 years, including 10 as varsity head coach at LaSalle Academy, an all-male, private, independent college preparatory Catholic school in New York City, where he also serves as the athletic director. In 2017, he led them to their first ever New York State Federation Championship, a team that saw one of its players eventually chosen in the NBA draft. As a young adult, he had organized a Friday night drop-in center where neighborhood youth could play basketball in the parish gym, provided they participated in prayer beforehand. Two of the highlights of his faith life, including having discerned a possible call to the priesthood and having met Pope John Paul II. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jerome Pinnell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Jerome. Thank you. I actually only scratched the surface there with that intro, which means we have a lot to cover today. So let's start off by having you share with us where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Harlem, New York, with my mom and my dad and my grandmother until I was, you know, maybe about 8 years old.
You're an only child?
I have a half-sister.
Okay, and you were indeed baptized Catholic. Before we start digging into some of your formation, just tell us first about the presence of the faith in the Pennell household when you were a young boy.
So as a very young child, the faith was primary to our existence in our household. My grandmother ensured that everyone in our family practiced the faith actively, and that was initially through the basic ways, the sacraments and attendance at Mass. After my grandmother passed, my mom made sure to kind of take the baton and ensure that I not only knew how to show up for holy days of obligation or Sunday Mass, but not to just come and be a observer in parish life, but to be an active participant in the life of the parish and in sharing my faith.
Wow, what a great example. Let's jump over to sports for a minute or two. When I first introduced you, there was a lot of mention of basketball, but clarify for us, when did you first start actually playing, and was basketball your one and only sport as a youth, or did you participate in other sports?
I started playing at a young age, ironically, all through Catholic organizations for the most part. And I played in high school. I didn't play after high school, but I loved that it was my primary sport. I played baseball in high school as well, third base, which was kind of rough for me, but I had a great experience. And, you know, the intersection of my faith with sports is kind of a foundational piece for me because the two kind of go together in every step of my life.
Well, in fact, this is usually the point in the show where we will have just heard a guest talk about being really active in high school sports. But getting back to faith now, though, with you, Jerome, under the influence of the Monsignor from the parish connected to the elementary school you had gone to, you attended Cathedral Preparatory Seminary for high school, where you began discerning a possible calling to the priesthood. Wow. Tell us about that experience, as well as the spiritual, social, and athletic settings that you thrived in at Cathedral Prep.
So Cathedral Prep was a unique situation because it was four young men in the Archdiocese of New York, and many of us came from different parishes. There was one other young man who came from my parish, but both of us had kind of a similar experience. Monsignor Howard Calkins is a inspirational and foundational piece of my life. In terms of his support of my family and how I saw him minister to the people of our parish and the people of our community, we ran at our parish a men's shelter in the lower basement of the parish, 20 yards from the rectory, right? A very flimsy door separating the rectory from the shelter in the lower basement. It was literally below the church. And my mom volunteered at the men's shelter. And I learned so much from the nights where she would stay and cook dinner for the men and serve them dinner. And then we would go home while I did my homework in the rectory. Or the nights where I was home with my dad or my grandmother and she stayed overnight at the shelter. And I learned so much about what it means to be a true shepherd and what it means to serve God's people. But I really learned that what we do for those on the fringes, right, is amazing and can be so captivating. And to see the appreciation and authentic joy that some of those men had to have a warm meal and a warm place to stay during the winter months was amazing.
Yeah, it conjures up thoughts of whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. And I think you got to witness that over and over. You were blessed to be able to witness that over and over, it sounds like.
Very much so. And that's what made me want to be a priest, is I got to see his impact on people. So I served every mass some Sundays. I served all four, the 8th, the 9:30, the 11 in Spanish, and the 12:30. But the reality of it was while being an altar server was fun, and the relationships you develop between altar serving or the youth group or just being around, it was seeing the impact that he had on people and the impact he had on me and my family that made me say, man, this is something I may want to do and may want to consider.
Yeah, in the audience, Jerome was so active, so immersed in so many different programs. Jerome, CYO, talk about what you did CYO wise during your time at Cathedral Prep. And I know you're also involved with retreats. You mentioned the Archdiocese, a lot that you did during your time there.
So during my time at Cathedral Prep, initially, as I was entering Cathedral Prep, I had the honor of being selected of two youth from my parish to go to World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado. And that was, again, another incredible experience. And that kind of set the baseline for me at Cathedral Prep for just an incredible kind of pathway in faith. And, also being involved in the Catholic Youth Organization, first as a CYO athlete in middle school, and then just helping out in whatever I could do. Subsequently, later on, coaching in CYO, I learned so much about how the faith intersects with sports. And I was also involved with the Salesians of Don Bosco, as well as the Archdiocesan CYO Teenage Federation. And those two things were incredible because the Teenage Federation allowed us to do all sorts of social activities, but spiritual activities and engage in retreats at Blair Lodge, where I was on the retreat team a couple of times, as well as with the Salesians of Don Bosco at the Marian Shrine. And it was in high school, towards the end of high school, that I think I realized that in sports, when LeBron went to Miami, they called him the Big Three. And I had a Big Three, is what I realized. Monsignor Howard Calkins was my pastor at St. Joseph of the Holy Family. Monsignor Desmond O'Connor was my headmaster at Cathedral Prep. And Brother Emil Dubé, who's now Father Emil, was a Salesian brother who was at St. Thomas the Apostle, where I attended and participated in retreats and activities, as well as the youth group there as well.
Okay, so then this is where I have to jump in and ask. I mean, you've talked about the Monsignor who was your pastor. You've talked about him a few times and the great example he set, the great impact that he had on you. Now you're mentioning these other two that influenced you. So it begs the question, tell us about eventually discerning out of the possible call to the priesthood, yet also getting to meet Pope John Paul II.
So, yeah, it's a great question. I met Pope John Paul when I was a senior and I was getting ready to graduate. And the discernment out of considering the priesthood was difficult, but at the same time, it was a very logical kind of step for me. I was talking to my friend's mom, David Valentine. He also attended Cathedral Prep and was from my parish. And in our conversation, we were talking about what we know and what we don't know. And I realized that I had, in some ways, been enveloped with love and sheltered by my faith and my community, both my community of Harlem and my community of faith, whether or not be St. Joseph of the Holy Family, St. Thomas the Apostle, or Cathedral Prep. And I knew very little outside of it, very little. And as I started to figure out college, I realized that I wanted to experience something outside of the traditional church. And I felt that that would either lead me back to the church or lead me in a different direction.
Wow. Yeah, I see that. I see that very well said. And as soon as you said, the word I thought of was cloistered, but you did kind of feel like I've just been in this little bubble and I don't have anything to compare it to. So hats off to you for making not only an informed decision, but a mature decision at that age. And friends, we are going to continue hearing this recurring theme that makes Jerome such a great fit for this show, for my ministry, the mix of sports and his, our, Catholic faith. Did you know that credit unions, which were created to compete with banks by focusing on the individual, have deep roots in the Catholic community? Alliance Catholic Credit Union has continued that proud tradition, serving the Catholic community for almost 70 years. Alliance Catholic provides their members with the most up-to-date tools to manage their money while giving back to Catholic schools, parishes, and organizations. If being a part of a Catholic credit union instead of a big bank is interesting to you, visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. By all means, tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Federally insured by NCUA. Friends, I do want to try to get up to present day and the coaching that Jerome does at LaSalle Academy, where, as I mentioned, he is also the athletic director. But there's still so much about his journey to present day that I feel strongly is relevant for you to hear as we continue his timeline towards June 2025, and it includes a story he has about a transformational moment in his life, plus, wow, what I'm going to call an absolute medical miracle. Amazing, amazing story that he's going to share with us. First, though, I do want to thank a listener from Wisconsin, Jim Lowinger, who was kind enough to make a donation to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. He sent me a check through the U.S. mail and had also told me via email that he has been listening to the show for a while now and was particularly inspired by the interview with Diane Ninas on episode 327, which he said was awesome. I always say it at the beginning of the show each week, and I mean it. I do really enjoy hearing from listeners, and so it meant a lot to me to have that interaction with Jim. Not to mention that his donation certainly helps. I think I had mentioned recently that I will be leading a panel at the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity in Waco, Texas, at the end of July / beginning of August, but that I still have to pay to register to attend the conference anyway, even as a speaker. Because I have made it public that it is challenging for me to keep up with the various expenses related to operating Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air, I, as a result, took it down to almost the final day to do that and sent in my $250 to Baylor University to get myself formally registered for the conference. So that is just one example of how your financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio can help me with my ministry. I am optimistic that, like Jim Lowinger, you too are seeing value in the work that I put into keeping this show going every week, every month, more than 6 years now without missing once, and that you're enjoying Catholic Sports Radio and it's helping you in your faith life. Please pray as to your participation in this ministry by way of an offering, a virtual collection basket, if you will. I encourage you to utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. As you heard me say, that is how Jim Lowinger from Wisconsin sent in his contribution. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you're hearing me do on this episode with my expression of gratitude to Jim. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Jerome, before all that, I made mention of a transformational moment in your life. Tell us about discovering your true vocation in education when you returned to teach at St. Joseph of the Holy Family, the very school you once attended, and why that's considered to be a transformational moment in your life.
I think that Being able to teach where you are taught is one of the greatest blessings that you can receive. I love St. Joseph and felt like it was an incredible foundation for me. And I was honored to be able to, by virtue of the principal Simone Jackson at the time and the pastor Father Philip Kelly, to be invited back to teach. And to me, at the time that I went back, it was shortly after my dad had passed away. And it was, in many ways, a spiritual awakening because it allowed me to see that while I suffered a tremendous loss, God gave me so much in return. And the students that I was able to work with there, some of whom I am so close with to this day, who are adults of their own with careers and children of their own, were impactful for me. And I've always used the phrase that when I look back to Monsignor Calkins and his work in the parish, I've always said, if I am one millionth as impactful in the lives of the youth that I am entrusted with as he was in mine, then I've done a great job. He was it. And to be at St. Joseph was a full circle moment for me and showed me, it showed me that there are vocations that don't always look to have a collar or a habit.
Yeah, I like that because the full circle analogy is perfect. It's almost like the table has been set for, okay, we taught you when you were young, and now it's time for you to carry out exactly what we taught you by doing it for the next generation. So it's a great picture that you painted, and we can understand why it's considered transformational. Although, please, I have to continue this. Transformational moment in your life, I would say, if you'll understand the spirit with which I'm saying this, professionally, but please share about what I think is life-changing because it was life-saving, what I called a medical miracle that happened to you.
So in 2020, when the world started to shut down, I was here at LaSalle Academy and I was home after the school shut down. And I did not know that I had COVID. I thought that, after a long basketball season and just a rough school year, I was fatigued. But my mom, in her infinite wisdom, called one of my best friends and told him to come get me and take me to the hospital. And it took him a couple hours to convince me because I just thought I was fatigued. And if he didn't convince me, I wouldn't be here today. And his first call to me was at 5 o'clock, and I didn't go to the hospital until 9:30. And as soon as I got there, they isolated me, and 2 days later, I was on a ventilator. And eventually in a coma for 66 days, in the hospital for 100 days. And several times throughout the process, they told my mom, this is it. And she never stopped praying, and she never stopped hoping, and she never stopped getting others to pray for me. She went on the Archdiocesan Office of Black Ministry prayer line with Brother Tyrone Davis on a regular basis. Brother Tyrone prayed me up, and all of my friends and family prayed me up, and everyone prayed. And it was a dark time, I think, for us as a world, as a country, as a city. And the power of prayer, in some ways, was all that many people had. So I often joke with people when they say to me, oh, when we talk about that period, and you see the stories of, there were shortages of certain items like toilet paper or other things. And I always say, I don't know anything about that because my experience was so different, right? my experience were vivid dreams, and it was honestly the prayers of my mother next to my hospital that saved my life. And I was in the hospital on March 16th, and I remember when I came out of the coma and they finally took the tubes out of my mouth and I was able to speak, the first thing that I can remember saying is, I don't know if my mom knows where I'm at. And they said, your mother knows exactly where you're at. She calls every day, and she's been in the lobby most days, even though she can't come upstairs. And it wasn't until literally about 4 months ago that my mom and I were driving past the hospital that I was in. And as we were driving by, the hospital is on Mount Sinai Morningside, formerly known as St. Luke's. And as we were driving by, you drive by the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, right? And it never dawned on me that my mother would go into St. John the Divine because it's not a Catholic church, right? And my mother just happened to say, man, I was in there a lot during COVID. And I didn't respond to it, but I thought about it because it made me realize it makes sense that she's there because it's a block away. She just wanted to be close.
Yeah.
So the two things that she needed was to be close and to pray.
That's right. And give us those numbers again. 66 days that you were in a coma, and 100 days was what?
101 days I was in the hospital.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I came out in a wheelchair. I came out with diminished functions. I came out, I wouldn't say broken, not completely. I would say battered a little bit, but I wouldn't say completely broken. But I came out realizing that the faith that I was given as a young child was practiced for me on my behalf.
Yeah, well
said. I couldn't practice it myself at the time, but it was practiced.
Yeah, yeah, wow, well said. Oh, we are so blessed to have a front row seat to these powerful stories and just the latest example of the power of prayer. Just amazing. And we had started off all that in the second half of the show by talking about the transformational moment that was you returning to teach at St. Joseph of the Holy Family. So kind of along that line, Jerome, you have been at LaSalle Academy in New York City for over 10 years now. It bears repeating that that is an all-male, private, independent college preparatory Catholic school. You are the athletic director and the varsity head basketball coach. But take us back to when you started there in 2014. What drew you there in the first place?
Wow. So to get to LaSalle, I was leaving St. Joseph, and it's such a blessing, right? I had left St. Joseph. I started a job in a marketing firm, and I was going to be able to coach at LaSalle kind of on the outside. And I started coaching at LaSalle, and my boss at the marketing firm, who's one of my best friends, and he himself is a transformational guy, and Wayne, and he made sure that he said two things to me when I took the job. He said, one, I want you to continue to coach. And I got offered the JV basketball job at LaSalle. And two, he said, it's not going to be an if, but a when you go back into education. Because I know your heart. And sure enough, that ended up happening. And I returned to LaSalle full-time as an employee 10 years ago, where I began being the assistant principal and the dean of students, in addition to coaching and being the athletic director. But the coaching dynamic was one where I kind of just fell into it because I had developed positive relationships with high school coaches and programs around the city. And it was, hey, I've got a JV job open. I think you'd be a great fit. And the first time that he said to me, and I'll never forget this, the only issue with this is that I'm taking you from St. Joseph. So if you come to LaSalle, it may be our win, but it'll be St. Joseph's Loss. To which, at that time, I thought, I don't think of it that way. I don't think of it that way at all.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, wow. And as if all the different hats that you wear at LaSalle aren't enough, not to mention everything we've heard up to this point, you even have over 25 years of experience in experiential marketing, event staffing / management, and live event execution, and you have served as the staffing lead and managed a staff team as large as 200 people at a number of large-scale events such as U.S. Open Tennis, U.S. Open Golf, PGA Championships, BCS National Championship, NCAA Final Four, MLB and NBA All-Star Games. My gosh, I'm wondering where you find time to eat and sleep, but I think the audience might ask, where has he been able to make the time in all that for his prayer life and attending Mass?
You know, it's funny you say that, because the reality of it is that I just told someone this story yesterday. There's always time for prayer, and it's first. Mm. So you can have a list of 20 things, but 2 through 20 are great, but it comes first. Giving thanks, and sometimes just having a conversation. But the reality of it is that if we ever get too busy, God reminds us, right? We plan and God laughs. We plan and God laughs. And, you know, my mom, she used to say to me, she still does sometimes, that God gives everybody 24 hours in a day, but for some reason, I think that he gave me 28. I'll try to use them all. And that's probably accurate. The reality of it is that, you know, Saturday, just this past Saturday, in Cathedral Prep Seminary, a number of guys got ordained, but one of them, Bishop Joseph Espaillat, the youngest bishop in the country, Dominican-American-born bishop, he last week was at the ordination and the first Mass of a young man that I had in confirmation class when I was teaching at St. Joseph. Hmm. Kevin Noyola got ordained a priest last week, and it was an amazing, amazing weekend. And Bishop Joseph, this past weekend, I got to witness him perform a confirmation at a parish literally a block from my mom's house. And it reminded me of something that I learned a long time ago, which is when you are looking for the Lord, you don't have to look very far. Mm. Because if you look, you will find. And to find a Mass or a church that is open or an opportunity to worship or to serve him, I get opportunities to serve him each and every day here at LaSalle.
Yeah, these are all great testimony, because if you prioritize, as Jerome said, if you say, well, it's got to be number one on the list of all my things that I have to do, then you will find time for prayer. You will find time to attend Mass, no matter how many sporting events you're working or what games you're coaching or practices that you have to run. You will find time. You will make it your number one priority. And Jerome, we're in the home stretch, so let's just have a little fun. First is, tell us about that 2017 LaSalle team that you led to their first ever New York State Federation Championship. But then also, since one of the players on that team got drafted into the NBA, I have to ask, are the Knicks your team, or maybe the Nets? What NBA team do you root for?
I root for the Knicks. So it's been a rough week. But that 2017 team, in the midst of it, I didn't realize how special that team was. Mm. In hindsight, I knew how special the people on that team were. I didn't realize how special the team was. Mm. And the 2017 team, you know, when you go back and look at that team, I have to look at the 2016 ending, right? The 2016 team, we were the top seed, and we got upset in the semifinals. And it was the most emotional place I've ever been, was that locker room. Mm. And it was crushed. And going back to my days at St. Joseph, when I was coaching, I always remember thinking that the relationships that we develop as a team and the familial atmosphere that we cultivate makes us feel as though we are invested in each other and we're playing for each other. So when we lose, it is an emotional thing. And that 2016 team had expectations, and we didn't get it. And that 2017 team was like a bulldozer, right? Mm. And it was highlighted by like a perfect storm of just, we played in some tournaments, you know, we did some things. We went to Miami and played in the Belen Jesuit tournament. And it was right after New Year's, and it was Bryce Council, my point guard's birthday that weekend. And the best part of that trip was we went to an autistic center, the WOW Center for adults down by Fort Lauderdale, and we did a basketball clinic.
Wow.
And at the basketball clinic, I remember when we got off the bus, they played music, and all the guys walked off the bus, they thought they were like rock stars, right? At this basketball clinic, we're teaching them how to make layups, they're shooting half-court shots, they're doing all sorts of things. And afterwards, as we're leaving, my shooting guard, Reggie, he said to me, I didn't know that service could be this fun.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
I said, Reggie, not only can service be this fun, but sometimes it's not, right? But whatever we did today wasn't for us, it was for them.
Amen.
But you got something out of it.
Amen.
So that's the lesson for you.
Yeah, and this will put a nice bow on what has been a great conversation where we've clearly seen the mix of faith and sports. So final question, Jerome. Let's close by having you share with us about your desire to continue to teach the game on the court while helping players grow and develop off the court.
You know, my first year coaching at St. Joseph, I got a T-shirt that said, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
Mm.
And then I put a phrase on my door that said, basketball is the least of what I teach.
Wow.
And the reality of it is that so many of us as coaches have a duty and an honor. Here in New York at the Catholic High School Athletic Association, we do a code of conduct and a prayer before every game in every sport, right? Because we want to lay the foundation for all, not just as Catholic schools, but just as human beings. But for me, if we don't utilize what we have and what we know to teach and make our young people better, then we're doing them a disservice.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, I've been knocked down a number of times in life, and I've gotten back up every single time. But like footprints in the sand, sometimes I was carried and didn't know it.
Mm.
So it's really important that we understand who's carrying us, that we give glory to God who carries us most of the time, and that we as teachers and educators, or me specifically as a coach or teacher or educator, that I know to use my platform to not only try to develop young men, but try to make this world a better place through them. And you know what? Then we'll probably win some games too.
Well said. Well said. Oh, such great testimony. Jerome, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And audience, it's only fitting that we close this week's show with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.